Those are some interesting perspectives.
Yes, they are. Don't talk to me here. Speak to me via FARC only, Sarah.
Sorry, Rick. No. I'll instant message you.
Don't speak. Don't speak. You may only speak to me by posting on ain'titcool.com.
See, the thing is, I love this guy. Why does he have to act like this?
I don't know, baby.
Why does he have to have continued relations with his ex?
Well, that's it. Now, don't say that. Don't put it that way.
Okay.
Don't put it that way because you know that that's a loaded... That's an unfair statement.
The comments.
Well,
and it is my own insecurity. I don't like the fact that, you know, that he moved to Portland with this girl and that they lived together and they were together for years and years.
Well, see, but that's almost understandable, though. See, that's the thing is, it's almost it is understandable that you still talk to somebody that you were that close with, I think, in many ways. Laura, there's somebody that Laura was with, you know, and it's, you know, every now you go back to Utah, whatever. Hey, how's it going? How are things? You know, and that's, you know, that's...
See, it would have been a problem if he was just honest with me from the beginning.
But, you know...
Like, I feel like I'm being punished because he got caught.
Are you talking to your ex? No! You know, that's... I think that's the, you know, whatever. I don't know, maybe he thinks that you would have freaked out. Maybe he thinks that you wouldn't have been cool with it. And you might not have been. If he had just said...
We had the discussion before, and I said it was, you know, it was fine. I didn't like it because she was writing him a lot, and, you know... It was just kind of weird for a while there, and so I'm like, you know, I'd kind of like it if you didn't talk to her as much.
Right.
And then, to my knowledge, I thought it had faded away, but it had not.
Yeah. It's all very awkward. I'll forward you these emails. There's a lot of emails coming in that it seems like it would be wrong for me to read them on the air. I'll forward them to you, and you can be the judge. Because it's a whole lot of emails involving variations on the phrase, girl, you deserve so much better. And whatnot. So I'll kind of read these to you. Oh, by the way, Tim, you'll be happy to hear that the Capitol Steps are coming to town. The Capitol Steps, it's election night with the Capitol Steps. And if you're not familiar with the Capitol Steps, ladies and gentlemen, it is America's premier musical conservative comedy act. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that group of people right there.
Where's Pat Buchanan?
You know that they're great because they're always on the Michael Reagan show. There you go. Hmm. All right, shall we open
there's a cross-eyed woman.
It's terrible. Hey, do you ever just have the compulsion to ask a cross-eyed person once and for all which goddamn eye you're supposed to look at?
I've never met a cross-eyed person.
No, there's when somebody has an eye that is a lazy eye. You know what I'm talking about? You know people. There's somebody. We work with someone like that.
Who?
We work with someone like that.
I'm
going
to go look. I'm not. I'm just going to go stare at them right now.
I'm going to look at everybody in the eyes.
No, I'm not trying to be. I'm not trying to be to point out that whatever.
Dennis can make his eyes wander a different direction.
Yeah, which is creepy.
Yeah.
No, there's. We work with someone who has a, it's it. The eyes appear to be not entirely in sync. And then you look, and so what I do is I alternate back and forth. And I try to make, it's like chewing on both sides of your mouth equally. I try to make sure that I'm looking at one eye. And then every so often, switch over and look at the other eye for a while. And then back to the original eye.
Just look in between the two eyes.
Look at the nose, the bridge of the nose. That's how you win a staring contest. You stare at the bridge of the nose. Little known fact. Ladies and gentlemen.
Nice. This is a diverse workplace.
It is now 12:36. Let's begin the noon news hour, shall we?
Emerson Noon News Hour.
Wait, that was me. I want to do it again.
All right, fine.
I'm sorry.
It is 12:36.
I'm a little distracted.
Let's begin. I'm a little bit rock and roll. Let's welcome now Tim Riley, and he's the guy doing that thing that we
thank you. Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hello there, comrades. Boulder County DA Mary Lacey is in lots and lots of trouble, taking the heat for her handling of the John Mark Carr case. She explained to reporters by DNA samples secretly taken from Carr in Thailand. This is the first time we've heard about this. Secretly taken from Carr in Thailand are no good after all.
Our expert said that the sample in the underwear of the victim was a mixed sample, and that we do not want to compare a mixed sample with a mixed sample. We need a pristine sample.
We just need to be done with this. That's what we need. As I understand it,
yes.
When they say mixed sample, I do believe that they're talking about hair fibers, and I believe... John Douglas wrote a book about this, and I do believe... See, I've become one of those old women that's obsessed with the murder cases. I do believe what they're talking about is there was a hair of unknown origin and like one of the dad's hairs, or just like some guy in the house. And so it was, they were unable to sort of separate the two. I don't know. It's a thing.
Meanwhile, D.A. Mary Lacey said, these have been difficult days for all of us this past week, and she has received many very critical phone calls.
He said you should be tarred and feathered and run out of town, and I want you to call me and tell me that you're going to resign. You know, that's pretty harsh, and it's not just one. There were a lot of calls like that.
Well, the guy, because Baumgartner was saying that, and I didn't know that she had some press conference where she basically said that they thought this was the guy who did it, and they did whatever. And if that's the case, then, I mean, you think that just logic would tell them at this point, not that you, as they say in the sales department, under promise, over deliver. Because as soon as you open your mouth and say that you got the guy, you know, that's when this is going to happen. And he's the creepiest looking guy. I mean, the more I look at this photo of him.
He has no waist. His pants go all the way up to his neck.
No, and he's got the strangely taut, shiny face and everything going on. The guy's, he's all manner of creepy. And here's the weird thing about it is that you know, that we haven't heard the last of this guy.
No.
Whether or not that they convict him in California of these kiddie porn charges, you know that we're going to hear more from this guy as time. He's going to do something. They're going to release him, and they're going to catch him with his tackle out on a playground somewhere in 6 months. You know what's going
to
happen.
And then he's going to get his own talk show to compete with Oprah.
It's, and he'll be on in the morning with
Tony Danza.
With Goomba Johnny, yeah.
In the meantime, he said...
Speaking of which, by the way, no, just not the note to self. Somebody asked us, because we had asked the other day if that Whoopi Goldberg radio program was on. Wake Up with Whoopi?
Yeah.
Is it that it has launched? Did we learn that?
Yes.
Okay. So, somebody is going to try to get us a copy of that. We had somebody who's going to try to get us an hour of the Wake Up with Whoopi show so that we can hear it. Because I am curious to know what a Whoopi Goldberg radio program sounds like. Mm-hmm. So I will let you know if and when that arrives.
He said it's about good manners.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, this car fellow says he wants Johnny Depp to play him in the biopic. He also said he is skilled at mimicry and is especially proud of his ability to impersonate Katharine Hepburn.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He also says...
You old poop!
He liked the idea of Johnny Depp being cast as Willy Wonka because he saw the movie himself. He says he is similar to my personality except for the fact that he did not know how to treat children.
Oh my God.
Okay. There you go. Let's be done with that.
All right. Let's switch gears, shall we?
Thank you.
President is commemorating the first anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. And he says there was a breakdown of law and order in all levels of federal and local government 1 year ago.
Citizens drown in their attics. Desperate mothers crying out on national TV for food and water. A breakdown of law and order. And a government at all levels that fell short of its responsibilities.
All right. You know, George Bush is really good at taking responsibility, like, way too late to actually help with anything or do anything about it. Wasn't he just saying 2 weeks ago that this Iraq thing has proven to be, it's hard work, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm doing Clinton. But it's taking a toll on the national psyche.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A year later.
Yes. Thank you. 3 years after starting it.
He has just learned that there was massive flooding in New Orleans.
1 year ago today, your beloved New Orleans and surrounding parishes and counties in the great state of Mississippi, were struck by a cruel hurricane. And here in this city, there was flooding on a biblical scale.
The president says many people had to be rescued.
Fishermen used their flat-bottom boats to form the Cajun Navy and pulled women and children and the elderly out of flooded homes and brought them to dry ground.
I know that I was talking about this a little bit yesterday, but it is, as I mentioned to Peter Carlin, it's very unfortunate that the Spike Lee documentary will be seen by a lot fewer people than it really should. It's like Spike Lee is sort of like Michael Moore, that you put his name on anything, and there really is such a polarization now about certain filmmakers and public figures that you put Michael Moore on something, and there's a whole lot of people who will see it, like myself, just because it's a Michael Moore film. Who here has seen the Michael Moore opus, Canadian Bacon? Anyone?
I don't remember if I have.
I did a long time ago.
It's the worst film ever made.
Wait, is that the one with Rick Moranis in it?
Yeah, it's got Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
It's where we invade Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a Wag the Dog, but with all the humor removed. It's Michael Moore's feature. It's a feature comedy film from Michael Moore. It's terrible. It's so bad. It's unbelievable. But I saw it because it was Michael Moore. I'll see anything that guy does because he's some exceptions notwithstanding. He's very skilled at his craft. Ditto Spike Lee. But there's a whole lot of people, like probably your parents, who won't see anything that Spike Lee makes because blah, 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 angry black man, blah, 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 hates Whitey, blah, blah, blah. Which is unfortunate because he's an exceptionally gifted and skilled filmmaker. And you watch this When the Levee Broke, which is this four-hour documentary, and it's just, it's unbelievable. It is just, you watched it, and it is like that thing I was talking about yesterday with it, Soledad O'Brien and the corpse sitting in a chair for 3 days in the middle of the street. And when they're talking about the fact that, I mean, 5 days before the military got there, and finally there's like dudes making their own boats out of plywood and going around their neighborhood rescuing people. While George Bush is literally in California playing a guitar at a convention and doing like a Buck Owens impersonation.
Meanwhile, Donald Rumsfeld is accusing critics of the Bush administration's Iraq and counterterrorism policies of trying to appease a new kind of fascism. They just created this little term.
It's a new kind with a tasty shell.
In unusual explicit terms, Rumsfeld portrayed the administration's critics as suffering from moral or intellectual confusion. In remarks to several thousand veterans at the American Legion's National Convention, Rumsfeld recalled what he called the lessons of history, including Adolf Hitler's Nazi regime of the 1930s, which is just like these people.
Bada bing, there you go, the Godwin Award. Mm-hmm. All right, fantastic. Whoa, what was that? Jinx, 1, 2, 3. I'm just trying to sort through these Sarah's boyfriend emails, because I'm going to forward them to you. You may then sort through them and decide which ones you wish to read privately, which ones you wish to read.
Well, now I'm not being spoken to, and I wish that he would just sit here and listen and realize that he and probably a few people, he's the only one who feels like I violated something by him posting that.
I don't know. It's not that I have divided the loyalties as such, because I think that you're... From what I know of this, it seems like you're in the right. But it just gets so awkward and weird and...
It's so hard to solve it because that's what I kept saying. It's like talking to Walt. It's a public forum. You're spying on me. It's a public forum. Right. I didn't log in anything. You're spying.
Well, no, and the fact that, I mean, I was sort of joking about this when we came back, but I told you, during the break, I was saying this is as if... Like, I tried to bring up some problem with Lara, and she refused to talk to me in person about it and insisted that I had to log into a message board and just talk to her through that.
See, and I thought that I was doing the mature thing by confronting a problem and just bringing it up with him instead of, like, harboring resentment, which is now being done to me. I tried to, you know, bring it up and solve the problem and move forward, and instead it's just turning into, like a juvenile high school, you know, war of words.
You guys go through a lot of the not talking to each other stuff.
Haven't in a while, though. It's been going so well. And, you know, it's right when you think that everything's going good that things just go to crap. I know, Rick.
I know how
you think.
You don't know what I'm thinking.
I know what you're thinking.
What am I thinking?
I'm not going to say it out loud.
Thank you. See, that's decorum. See, because it's a private conversation. It's a private conversation.
No, I am
not public.
I am well aware of what you think. But
let's move on.
Okay.
Because we're at this place now where it's like gears that are just grinding so hard in each other and they can't move. Because there's only so much I think that can be said about this because I mean, I'm sort of here, you know, doing whatever I do. And then there's you, and then there's Nate's half of it. And Nate's half of it apparently is just not speaking to you. And really, there's really only so much conversation you can have with a guy who's not talking.
Yeah. Who hangs up on me repeatedly, who leaves me stranded someplace. Because you were this guy, right?
I hate to, because I fall in a lot into the trap of making everything about me, and I know that that's a trait that I have. I was talking to Tim Savage, in the Timnasium, the other day, and I've really had to watch myself talking to Tim Savage because he's a funny guy. I mean, it sounds so condescending to say this, but he's a bright kid. I mean, he's like, what, 25, something like that? He's mid-20s.
He has a lot of promise.
He does, and I hate to say that because it's not like I'm some aged Brian Jennings type, and I'm only 33. What the hell do I know? You know, I do this program badly. I do one thing, and I do it poorly. So I'm no one to give anybody advice. But I talk to Tim Savage, and I do a lot of, you know, well, Tim, you have a problem with focus and with moving forward and getting to the, you know, what I'm saying that as an example. I'm not saying he has a problem with focus, but whatever. I'll say something like, well, you know what? You've got all of this energy, and it seems like maybe you need to channel it. And then here's when I found myself. This is I You know, this is all stuff that he has said. You know, he's talked about this on the air, so I'm not giving anything away. But I was, he's talking about how he will see. This sounds familiar. He'll come on at the beginning of the show, tease a lot of things, and then he will find himself getting so sidetracked and distracted by thoughts inside his own head that he will actually then start wondering aloud to himself on the air what the hell he was talking about and where he was going with this goddamn conversation anyway. And then he'll just say, let's take a break. That's it. Exactly the same thing that I've done for like 15 years. And so I told him the other day, I'm like, well, Tim, let me talk about some things you can do to hone your program. Now, when I do my radio program, The Rick Emerson Show, and I realize that I'm constantly critiquing him by talking about me, which is a thing that I fall into a lot. And I know that I've done that with you, Sarah, and I know that I hate because it robs Nate of his own personality. That's the reason I feel bad about doing it.
I would be more than happy if he wants to call in and make this his public forum as well.
Well,
I'm totally comfortable with that. If he wants to call in and give his side, he has to log in first.
And he's,
but then, smooth sailing.
I'm saying that I do.
We welcome all viewpoints from responsible spokesmen.
I do see. Oftentimes, this is not an isolated case or instance, but sometimes in others, I will see personality traits that I either have or had to a greater degree, maybe at one point. So I know that there's only so far you can get with a guy who just decides that he doesn't want to talk, and just decides that the best response is because there's a lot of power in not talking.
Yep.
That's the thing. It's like they always tell you in sales. And this is true in life too. I sound like Zig Ziglar. The most powerful word in the English language is no. That's it. So they always tell you that when you're in sales, that when you're talking to a client and what is it, the guy? You're talking to some guy, some son of a bitch doesn't want to buy land, doesn't want to buy what you have to sell. The thing is, you're dealing. Sometimes you can just get up from the table and you got to be prepared to walk away. Just be like, no, not going to work. You just say no and you get ready to leave. And there's a lot of power in saying no. It's a lot of, to use the cliche, it's a lot of passive aggressive control by just being the guy who turns off or shuts up or hangs up the phone or won't talk or won't come to the door. Because I've totally been that guy.
Instead of talking, you decide to vent their frustration on an online journal.
Well, anyway. Let's get a couple of these here. Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, brother?
Hey, great. Hi, Rick. How you doing?
Oh, it's one of those days. What's up with you?
One of those days. It's one of those days for me, too. Hey, quick comment. Sarah, that does not sound good. That is just not a good situation with that guy. And, it sounds to me, I'm just another guy. But, I don't think that I see a lot of future in that relationship with that guy. He's too immature, but anyway, that's my opinion. It means nothing to you. That's that. Rick, what I wanted to ask you who is the Brian Jennings that you keep referencing? Is it that old Portland news guy?
I don't know, Tim. Was Brian Jennings a news guy in Portland? I think he might have been.
He may have been.
I think he may have been. I always describe, he looks like Mike Ditka. If you know who Mike Ditka was, here's Brian Jennings. This is one of those days. We're getting off topic, but what are you going to do? Brian Jennings, who I believe was a Portland news guy. In fact, when I first met him, he lived in Lake Oswego, so that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that is the same guy.
Yeah, he was a news guy somewhere, so it probably was here. He then programmed a station called KVI in Seattle.
Sure, yes. Okay, that is the same Brian Jennings then.
And that he was my very first talk radio consultant when I was a mere slip of a youth, when I was 20 years old.
No kidding. I worked at KXL as an intern when he was the news guy there.
I love Brian. I got to say that right now. We poke fun, but I love Brian.
Where is he now?
To the best of my, no one cares about this. Let me give a little background story here. Because we use Brian's name a lot. Brian Jennings, as I said, was a news guy. He was a program director of a talk radio station in Seattle called KVI, which is where Mike Siegel came out of. It was sort of a right-wing conservative, blah, blah, blah. And he had this classic story where KVI was the worst station in the market. And they call it the worst to first story. And you hear that a lot in radio. Worst station in the market. He was the PD, took it to number one, and then they blew him out. They fired him for reasons unknown to me. And then he went into consulting. And so I first met Brian when I was 20, and And he was, Brian is so great because he totally just has this great sort of like gruff sort of, you know, like intelligent but sort of masculine way of talking to you. And
yes,
just a, Rick, how are you doing, man? And I'm like, I'm good, Brian. Rick, what do you want to do in this industry? Tell me. And the great thing about Brian is even when I was like 20 years old, 19 even maybe, he took me really seriously, didn't treat me like a kid, treated me like an adult and like a guy who maybe could do something. And he said, well, you're doing this rock and roll radio thing, Rick. I mean, is that what you want to do? And I said, no, I want to do a talk radio program. Good for you. Well, you know what, kid? I think you've got all, this is the classic Brian statement to me, Brian Jennings. Rick, I think you've got all the talent in the world, and I think you should maximize that talent because I think there are big things waiting for you out there. And then,
no,
yes,
that is the same Brian Jennings, and you do him well. You do him well.
Oh, I love that guy.
He treated me the same way when I was an intern.
He's the coolest guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then he got me my first talk gig, and then he got me the gig in Salt Lake.
Wow.
And then I'm pretty sure had a strong hand in getting me the gig here in Portland eventually with Bruce Agler here at KOTK because Bruce, you know, and Brian, you know, go back and they respect each other, blah, 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 blah. Now he's doing private consulting, I think, for a radio company. I don't think he does freelance stuff anymore. But when you hear us, I think he's in Lake Oswego still, but when you hear us talk about Brian Jennings, that's who he's, the guy who gave me my start in talk radio.
That's the same guy, and he's still using his on-air name in business because that's not his real name.
Oh, I dig that guy. He's just so great. Rick, you've got all the talent in the world. So, all right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Jim. It's just one big pointless program today. But you know, it's what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah's feeling kind of down today. Sarah's had a stressful, she woke up covered in blood. Big 200-pound guy jumped on her. She had quite possibly the most white trash fight ever last night, which, and this is not my opinion, by the way, this has been...
it is the most ghetto thing. I could not believe that somebody actually peeled out and left me standing at a corner mart. It was humiliating.
Would you like to hear this?
Hold me.
This is summed up by Aaron.
Like you did by the lake on the...
So it's sort of a brown trash perspective. Rick, pleased to be breaking the news to Sarah Dillon that she really has become white trash, if only for the moment. Getting into a fight with her rocker boyfriend, he peeled out in a car, forcing her to stomp away on foot to buy her own smokes. Then she gets drunkenly knocked down outside of a bar and doesn't realize she is bleeding from the ankles. How soon will it be until she starts tossing hubcaps at her boyfriend? Aaron, Geek in the City. There you go.
I've never been left anywhere before. I was astounded. It just seemed like something that would have happened to my abusive high school boyfriend, but no.
Did you have an abusive high school boyfriend?
I did.
Was that a mentally abusive or all of the above?
Well, he hit me once, and that was the only time.
Was that
time.
The end?
That was the end.
All right.
I haven't spoken to him again.
All right.
Maybe I'm just continually torturing myself. Maybe I'm just dating the same guy over and over again.
You think?
They actually do kind of look alike.
Really? I'm stunned.
That's a shocker.
I'm amazed by the idea that you might be replicating the same patterns over and over and over again. Well, but I've only met your... We're just so hip. I'm talking about a bad therapist and a guy who's unqualified. Like, I'm any roadmap for anything. But none of them are like your dad, are they? That's the weird thing. Are they like your mom?
No.
Is there anybody in your family, let me ask you this, and this is just out of curiosity, not because I can claim to help anybody at anything, is there any early, strong male figure in your life who had a strong impact on you, who bears a resemblance trait-wise to the guys you date?
Probably just the first one, just the guy I dated in high school. I don't, no.
So maybe it's, now were you in love with that guy?
Yeah.
Was it like a traumatic breaking up,
totally,
making up, breaking
yes,
up, every
yes,
cliche?
Every cliche in the book.
Totally.
I went to college and left him, and then we got back together over Christmas break. Blah,
so
blah,
that's,
blah.
Well, that's, I mean, there's probably a lot of that there, a lot of the recreating, because that's the thing is, it, and you know, and you
but
know.
I don't like the drama. I don't want drama, and it seems just like Nate just wants to incite it. Like, he just wants to argue all the time and be in control, and, you know, if we're fighting, then that means that he doesn't have to talk to me, which makes him feel like he's in charge.
You know, the effed up thing, though, is that when you date somebody, and this is one of those things that I just learned after a while. The screwed up thing about it is when you date somebody that, like, it's like you always hear that thing in the 80s about when you sleep with somebody, you're sleeping with everybody, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, when you date somebody, you're like, you're also dating everybody they've ever dated, because it, because when you date somebody who's got any kind of issues, I don't know, it's, I think that, like, you're not only having to, like, deal with them, but you're expected to fix everything that happened to them with every other relationship they ever had. And I think if early on you have some relationship that is exceptionally intense or traumatic or otherwise just sort of scarring, you know, the one that just really just messes you up, I think you go through and you keep trying to fix that past relationship over and over and over again by finding people who are the same and trying to fix them. That's just my opinion. I don't know. That could be just bupkis. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. My point, though, is you have had a trying day personally, and with your relationship and with the bleeding and the fighting and the so forth. And
it
I figure...
It sucks. It totally
take
sucks.
The rest of the day off.
What?
Take the rest of the day off.
Yes. So I figure you need a little something to cheer you up. Mm-hmm. You need a little something to put a smile on your face. You need a little something, as my mother would say, to pull up the corners of your heart.
I know. I kind of feel like I want to cry. I'm so exhausted.
But, Sarah, when you feel like crying, laugh instead with this clown watch right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Now, Tim, can I see these clown watches? Because I'm going to put these in ascending order.
Certainly. We have a backlog of clown watches.
There's three of them, I think.
There are three.
All right.
Three
oh,
of them?
This is so great.
All equally delightful.
All right.
All designed to turn frowns upside down.
So let's start with that one and just lead up.
Mm-hmm. This comes to us from Tucson, Arizona. The county sheriff's detectives and Tucson police have arrested four people in connection with a series of holdups of area check-cashing businesses by suspects wearing clown makeup. The arrests were made the same day the Tucson police reported the third in a series of holdups that were attributed to a duo of robbers dubbed the Clown Robbers.
How do you think they came up with the name?
Three women and a man are in custody, although their names
three
are not
three women and a man? That's pretty interesting.
Lady Clown.
I just, now, by the way, I don't know when the next Rick Emerson listener event's going to be. Probably not for, it's going to be probably sometime. Just going to be heading into the holidays and there's other stuff in the pipeline, as they say. But we do, the clowns have to be some part of it. Either that or we just have to cut out the middleman and just get some sort of a clown mascot for the show. Hell, I'm the program director. I can do whatever we want. We're going to have a clown mascot. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a scary clown with a pointy smile. He's going to, not a rounded smile like you're supposed to have. He's going to have the pointy Gacy. We should just have the Pogo the Clown. We should just have a guy just dress up as John Wayne Gacy's clown, and that should be our mascot. All right, done. Fantastic. Excellent. All right.
Story number two. A pretrial hearing for a professional clown charged with child molestation was postponed because the man's attorney was on jury duty. The hearing for David Albert Lemus, also known as Trim Trim the Clown...
Trim the Clown is a deeply disturbing name, too.
Will be held tomorrow in Fontana Superior Court. Two girls have told police that Trim Trim molested them on May 2005 at San Bernardino's National Orange Show Fairground.
The National Orange Show, where all bad things come from. And finally, now, this is really what we've been building toward. Read the headline first, if you would.
Kids watch his clown is crushed to death.
I want.
And you think your life is bad.
No, seriously, really, the headline sort of says it all there, but all right.
Well, a hot air balloon caught fire during a circus stunt, killing a clown acrobat as dozens of children watched in terror. Witnesses say the man dressed in a clown outfit was hanging from a cage suspended by ropes and a hot air balloon inside the canvas tent. When the balloon exploded into flames, the cage fell on top of the man.
It's just so terrible.
We were all sitting down and they were doing their act. They were up fairly high. They were doing fine. Next thing, he was on the ground, said audience member Hazel Harrington. She said many of the people in the audience initially thought the falling cage was part of the act.
Oh, no.
Not so.
No, not so.
About a half a dozen circuses employ mostly careless Eastern European performers.
So there, yes. So there
this is better than living in, say, Russia.
I have ticket for you to Promised Land. Only bad news. Must wear red nose and catch on fire in sky. So the moral of the story is, do not get a budget or low-cost discount. Don't get the Winco of clowns, kids, because that's all going to end badly. Should we take a break here?
All right.
Yes. Here's the thing. We'll come back. We'll get some more news with Tim Riley because he's been given short shrift today, even on today's longer program. We will do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have some more phone calls, more with Tim Riley, and we'll talk to Amanda Moyer, CNN radio correspondent.
Who's she?
She's on hold.
Oh, she's old?
She's on hold.
Oh, I don't know.
She's respected.
I took my headphones off for a minute so I couldn't hear. I'm sorry. I didn't
take. Covering her. I guess she's in New Orleans.
Oh, that Amanda.
Let's take a break. Back after this. Back. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. Thank you.